Good morning. Welcome to our worship service today. We begin with a prayer to our God and Savior. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, by your great goodness, we are permitted to enter your house to worship in your holy temple. Lead all of us, O Lord, in righteousness, even as you prepare the way before us for our spiritual well-being through the forgiveness of sins. Guide and control our worship this morning so that we grow in grace and truth, that we honor and praise you for your indescribable gift, your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Our first hymn is Rise, Shine, You People. Please rise. I invite you to follow our order of service as it's printed for you in your service bulletin. We begin on the bottom of page 2. We begin our worship service in the name of the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we confess that we are sinful by nature and have sinned against you in our thoughts, words, and actions, We have not loved you above all things. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. Have mercy on us, and for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, forgive us our sins. Jesus Christ is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. We are forgiven. With boldness and confidence, now we may approach God's throne to find grace to help in our time of need. In the joy and peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. We pray. Almighty and everlasting God, mercifully look upon our infirmities and stretch forth the hand of your majesty to heal us and defend us. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our first scripture reading for today is taken from the Old Testament book of the prophet Isaiah. We read from chapter 62, verses 1 through 5. This prophecy from Isaiah speaks of righteousness and a bright salvation coming forth from Zion, from Jerusalem. That, of course, is not a reference to the people of Israel being the light and the salvation, but what would come from them, and that would be the Savior, Jesus Christ, who's been revealed to us through the scriptures, the revelation of Jesus, the thing we celebrate during this season of Epiphany. We read then from Isaiah 62. For the sake of Zion, I will not be silent. For the sake of Jerusalem, I will not be quiet, until her righteousness goes forth shining brightly, and her salvation burns like a torch. Nations will see your righteousness, and all kings will see your glory. You will be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will assign to you. Then you will be a beautiful crown in the Lord's hand, and a royal diadem in the palm of your God. You will never again be called abandoned, and your land will never again be called desolation. For you will be called, my delight is in her, and your land will be called married, because the Lord delights in you, and your land will be married. For just as a young man marries a virgin, your sons will marry you. And just as a bridegroom rejoices over a bride, your God will rejoice over you. Our second reading for today is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We read verses 1 through 11. Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. These words here from the Apostle Paul remind us that each one of us has been placed into the body of Christ and given different spiritual gifts. We are to use them for the good of the body, the church. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were deceived and somehow led away to mute idols. Therefore, I am informing you that no one speaking by God's Spirit says, a curse be upon Jesus. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are various kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of ministries, and yet the same Lord. There are various kinds of activity, but the same God who produces all of them in everyone. Each person is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one person, a message of wisdom is given by the Spirit. To another, a message of knowledge, as the same Spirit provides it. By the same Spirit, faith is given to someone else. And to another, the same Spirit gives healing gifts. Another is given powers to do miracles. Another the gift of prophecy. Another the evaluating of spirits. Someone else different kinds of tongues. And another the interpretation of tongues. One and the same Spirit produces all of these, distributing them to each one individually as he desires. Here ends our scripture readings. Please rise. Let's join in confessing our faith in the one true triune God with the words of the Apostles' Creed that begins in your bulletin on the bottom of page 5. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. We'll continue with our next hymn, The Gifts Christ Freely Gives.
Christ freely gives, he gives to me.
Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the miracle worker in our lives, dear fellow redeemed. We continue our Epiphany series as we look in various gospel texts to see what they reveal to us about Jesus. That's what the word Epiphany means, to reveal. So this Sunday we will take a look at the account of Jesus' first miracle as it's recorded for us in John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. 3 days later, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there. Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does that have to do with you and me? My time has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." 6 stone water jars, which the Jews used for ceremonial cleansing, were standing there, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus told them, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." And they did. When the master of the banquet tasted the water that had now become wine, he did not know where it had come from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew. The master of the banquet called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and when the guests have had plenty to drink, then the cheaper wine. You saved the good wine until now." This, the beginning of his miraculous signs, Jesus performed in Cana of Galilee. He revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. In our daily lives, signs are important. They point us to important things. Whether we are driving on the freeway or we're in the buffet line, it is helpful, sometimes really, really important, to pay attention to signs. In John's gospel, he uses the term signs to refer to Jesus' miracles. And you may have noticed he uses that term in the last verse of our sermon text for today, when he describes this miracle of Jesus changing water into wine in Cana of Galilee. He says, this is the beginning of Jesus' miraculous signs. In other words, this is Jesus' first miracle. This miraculous sign that Jesus performed during his time on this earth points us to some important things about Jesus. In fact, every one of his miracles do point us to something important about Jesus. Well, what did this miraculous sign point to? And what does Jesus' first miracle reveal to us about Jesus? John answers that question clearly for us in our text. And from this account of Jesus' first miracle, we can see reasons why Jesus performed miracles in general while he was here on this earth. In fact, if you think about it, can you even imagine Jesus, the Son of God, being on this earth and not performing any miracles? If he came and lived among us for 33 years, had his ministry for 3 years, and didn't perform one miracle, wouldn't you begin to question, well, maybe this wasn't the Messiah? Wouldn't it make you doubt, is this really the Son of God, the Savior of the world himself? The fact is, of course, Jesus did perform miracles, many miracles, in fact. They were an important part of his epiphany, his revealing of himself as true God. So the first thing Jesus' miracles, or miracle that we're looking at today, and all of his miracles do for us, is they point to this important fact. They reveal this important fact about Jesus. It reveals that Jesus is true God. I have the 3 bullet points in the bulletin this morning, and I've given you a few words. I didn't give you the entire blank space like I did last Sunday, so you have a few words you can fill out. But the first one is that these miracles reveal that Jesus is true God. These miraculous signs of Jesus' divinity were a physical way of pointing to the spiritual truth that Jesus was and is the Son of God, that he was and is the Messiah, the true Savior of the world from sin. Now, obviously, as we look at this first miracle, one of the things that we notice very clearly about this is it's not the most impressive of Jesus' miracles. Not as impressive as feeding 5,000 men with 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish. Wasn't as awe-inspiring as when he caused a paralytic to just rise up and walk by saying the words. Wasn't nearly as incredible as when he raised his friend Lazarus from the dead after he'd been in the grave for 4 days. But this first miracle of Jesus is actually a very good representation of all of his miracles. From this first miracle, we learn some of the traits that are shared by all of Jesus' miracles. And in turn, this reveals to us some important things about Jesus. That brings us to the second thing that it reveals about Jesus, and that is this. It reveals that Jesus is compassionate and gracious. So the first thing Jesus' miracles reveal is that he is true God. The second thing it reveals to us is that he is compassionate and generous. As I mentioned above, this miracle might not seem that impressive. It might seem that it's far less significant than many of the other miracles of Jesus. However, each time I read this account, each time I preach or teach on this account, I'm reminded why this is one of my favorite miracle accounts of Jesus. It's true, no one was healed of a sickness or a disease. No one's life was in danger in this account. No one was raised from the dead. However, in the seeming insignificance of this miracle, we see clearly some of the traits of every one of Jesus' miracles, and that is his compassion and his generosity. Again, no, this wasn't a life or death situation, but for this newly married couple, this was potentially a very embarrassing situation and would have been a very bad start to their married life together. So for them, it was a crisis. It was a personal crisis. And Jesus shows his compassion on them and steps in at just the right time, his time. He shows deep love and concern for this bride and groom who had invited him to attend their wedding. We not only see Jesus' compassion in this miracle, we also see his generosity. He didn't just make wine. He could have, right, just made just common house wine. He made excellent wine. After tasting it, the master of the feast actually exclaims to the groom, "You saved the good wine until now." Not only did he make excellent wine, look at how much wine he made for them. If you do the math on the amount of water Jesus turned into wine, you can calculate it at somewhere between 120 and 180 gallons. Now that might seem like a lot of wine for a wedding feast, but you might recall from the traditions of those times, sometimes wedding feasts lasted an entire week. So this would have been plenty of wine to supply them for the entire week. So Jesus literally poured out his blessings on this couple and their guests by providing them with plenty of wine for the rest of their feast. Certainly the different miracles that Jesus performed had different situations and gave different blessings to different people. Here in this case, he blessed the couple and their guests with more wine. In other miracles he performed, he blessed the recipients with healing, or maybe he returned one of their loved ones from the dead. However, one of the common traits and common threads in all of Jesus' miracles was the reason and the purpose he performed all of them. As I said earlier, John clearly states Jesus' purpose in his summary of this account of the miracle in Cana when he says in the last verse of our text, "He revealed his glory and his disciples believed in him." John's giving the purpose for why Jesus performed this miracle and why he performed all of his miracles to reveal his glory so his disciples would believe in him. Now, in the previous chapter of John, the first chapter of John's gospel, we read that the disciples had been called by Jesus and they did already believe in him. They followed him as the Messiah. It's obvious from the end of chapter 1 of John that these men already believed. What this miracle did was show them even more of Jesus' glory as true God. And it gave them even more evidence that he was, in fact, the Messiah, that he was the Savior. It confirmed and strengthened their faith in Jesus even more. This points to the third important thing that this first miracle of Jesus and all of Jesus' miracles reveal to us about him. It reveals Jesus' glory and it strengthens our faith in him. This miracle and the miracles of Jesus reveal Jesus' glory and they strengthen our faith in him. That is what this miracle did for Jesus' disciples that day in Cana. John says it clearly. Does it do the same for us still today? Are you like me whenever you read one of the miracle accounts in Scripture, whether it's this one or any of the others? Is there a little tiny voice in your head that says this question, does Jesus still do this today? Does he still perform miracles now? The answer, of course, is without question, he does. The problem oftentimes is that we don't see them or we're not looking in the right places. Like this comparatively insignificant miracle of Jesus turning water into wine, we often look for some fantastic display of Jesus' supernatural power, and we overlook some of the, what we think maybe are insignificant, miracles in our lives. How many times have we found ourselves in places like the bride and groom of our text? Maybe not a life or death situation, maybe not a really, really, really bad crisis, but definitely we consider it a personal crisis. And yet Jesus came through. He provided for us. He rescued us from it. Or maybe even unknown to us, completely caused that situation from happening altogether. The thing that we were worried about never comes to fruition. Could Jesus have used a miracle to prevent it from happening? He certainly could have. He can and still does. Do we ever stop in wonder and thank Jesus for these seemingly insignificant miracles in our lives? They're all signs of his divinity, of his compassion, of his generosity, just like he showed this newlywed couple in our text. Well, Pastor, you could argue, this is not really what a miracle is if it's just something that Jesus used the natural order of things to kind of bring about some good things in your life. Technically, a miracle is a supernatural act, something that goes beyond the normal rules of nature. Jesus doesn't really perform those anymore, does he? Of course he does. He can and he does. He is still true God. He still rules heaven and earth and does what he pleases. He can and does step in to heal miraculously or provide for his people. But the miracles that Jesus performs every day are much more impressive even than those. Yes, the miracle of the creation of a human life are incredible. The restoration of a human life, the healing of a human life, incredible miracles. But the creation of spiritual life in the heart of a person is infinitely more amazing and infinitely more beneficial. This miracle Jesus performed, he performed for each one of us personally. When he converted and raised your dead heart and mine to life through faith in his word. He does this for each one of us through that word. He does it for us through the miracle of baptism, the giving of the Holy Spirit through water and the word. He does this for us each time we read that Word of God, strengthens our faith in Him, restores and heals that spiritual life inside of us each time we hear, read, and meditate on that Word. He continues the miracle of preserving that spiritual life inside each one of us through that Word and in connection with His very body and blood present and given to us in the bread and wine of the Lord's Supper. Jesus' purposes in performing these miracles are the same today as they were at that time in Cana at the wedding. Jesus' miracles reveal His glory as true God, and His miracles strengthen our faith in Him. So like His disciples, we don't believe in Jesus because of the miracles. We believe the miracles because of Jesus. Do you see the signs, the miraculous signs of Jesus? Like all signs, they are important. Don't miss them. God has written them down for us right here in His Word. This is an example of one of those miracles. But His miracles are all around us every day in our lives. They're signs that show us His glory as true God. They show us His generosity. They show us His compassion. And they strengthen our faith. And yet they are dwarfed by the most incredible miracle of all time. The miracle of His love. Unconditional, unlimited, and undeserved. Undeserved. A love that He gave us even though we did not deserve it. A love that He showed us when He took the punishment of our death, even hell itself, on the cross for us. His miraculous love did not end there. Thankfully, it did not end there on the cross. He miraculously and powerfully rose again on the third day to show us more miraculous signs of His love in His hands and His side. He says to each one of us in His Word, He shows each one of us these signs in His Word and says to us, reach your finger here and look at My hands. Reach your hand here and put it into My side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. You may be seated. If you have an offering to give to the Lord today, we invite you to do so by placing it in the offering plate in the entryway of our church. We continue our service this morning with our next hymn, Come Join in Cana's Feast, and invite you to stand for the last verse of that hymn. Prayers for this morning have been requested for those who have been suffering from the floods that have happened recently in our area and throughout our state. You also may have noticed in the bulletin that our church body's president, Pastor Michael Eichstedt, has stepped down and resigned from the presidency because of his health concerns. Vice President Mike Wilkie will be serving as the CLC president from now until the end of the term. So we pray for Pastor Eichstedt and pray for the leadership of our church body. Any other prayer requests for today? What's John? Yep.
This is a practical prayer.
Okay.
Our car runs low.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Let's join our hearts together in prayer. O merciful God and Father, creator of heaven and earth, by whose gracious will we enjoy the fruits of your creation, we come before you today with our fellow believers, grateful for the abundance of rain that you provided over these past weeks to our drought-parched state. At the same time, we are saddened by the flooding and devastation that these heavy rains have caused to so many in our area and throughout our state. We pray that you would comfort those who have lost loved ones, homes, and property in the storm and flooding. And we pray that you would give hope to those whose hope has vanished. We ask you to be merciful to all who have experienced loss of any kind in the devastation in these storms. Help the cleanup and recovery to go quickly and smoothly. Be with the emergency crews, the volunteers, and all those who are helping day and night to assist those who have suffered from these storms. We pray, Lord, that in the aftermath, your word will find ready ears and hearts so that the comfort of the gospel might renew and heal the broken hearts. Help all of us to love your word more and more, and to waste no moment to hear and eat of the bread of life found in your word, and to drink deeply of the wells of salvation provided for us in your holy scriptures. As you've called us to reflect your love, give us strength by your Holy Spirit to show our faith through giving assistance and help to others according to our means and ability. Open our hearts to help to provide the daily necessities of life, even those things which we often take for granted. Help us also find ways to share with others that which is the most necessary, the gospel of salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ. Give us faith to lend help without thought of return, and thus reflect the loving heart of our Savior Jesus, who willingly gave himself into death for us. Dear Lord, by your providing hand and your gracious care, we know that you love and care for all of us. We pray that you would be with John and Peggy and help their car to run well so that they can have transportation to and from work and to go the places they need to go. We are grateful and thankful, Lord, that you care so deeply even for the little things in our lives as is evidenced by your account of your miracle in Cana. Dear Savior and Lord of the Church, we pray that you would bless Pastor Eichstedt with good health and strength as he continues his ministry, but because of his health has had to resign from the CLC presidency. We ask you to bless Pastor Mike Wilkie as he takes up the office of the president. Give him wisdom to lead. Give him the strength and ability to do all that is needed in his various duties, and above all, move him to turn to you and rely on you in every time of need. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for being our loving Father in Christ Jesus, so that we might come to you in prayer. And so we ask you, Lord, forgive, comfort, strengthen, and support us, and may your word so fill our hearts that we and all who are led to trust in you might steadfastly and confidently look forward to our eternal home where all sin, disaster, pain, loss, sickness, and hardship is gone, and freedom from all things earthly prevails, filling our hearts with everlasting joy in your presence. We pray all these things in your name, dear Jesus, as we pray now in your name, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord, and we'll respond with the doxology. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. You may be seated. Our closing hymn for today is "O for a Thousand Tongues to Sing." Please rise for the last verse of that hymn.
Oh, for a thousand.
Please be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
A warm welcome to all of you in the name of our Savior Jesus, and I pray that you've been blessed through the message you've heard today. A few announcements for today and for this week. Following the service today, I'll be heading to Hayward for our worship service there at 1 p.m., and Bible class will follow at 2. Coming up this week on Saturday, there will be a women's retreat that's going to be held virtually via Zoom from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. There is information about that and registration link in the bulletin or in the email I sent this morning if you'd like more information on that retreat. It's likely that we will be setting up a projector in the Zoom for that retreat here at church next Sunday as well. So if you have questions, please speak with me or with Barb as well. Next Sunday, we'll be having our usual schedule, Bible class at 9 a.m., worship service at 10. Following next Sunday's worship service, however, we'll be having our annual voters meeting with the annual reports given. We do have a little bit of business as well, so the congregation is invited to attend that meeting, and also, obviously, the voters are encouraged to please come join us for that important meeting. For committee chairman, a reminder that your reports need to be turned in, if possible, today. Please send them to me. My email address is listed in the bulletin in several places, and you probably have it already. But please send the reports to me. Any other announcements for today? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
And